In the chaos and distractions of everyday life, it's easy to feel disconnected, distant from God, from the people we love, and even from our own hearts. Yet deep within, we know there's something more, something greater. We are called to be reconciled. Welcome to Be Reconciled with Father Paul Bakke, a space for honest conversations about faith, relationships, and finding our way back to true connection. As Saint Isaac the Syrian reminds us, be reconciled with yourself, and heaven and earth will be reconciled with you. When we make peace within, we open the door for healing in every part of our lives. And we hold on to this truth from 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So wherever you are in your journey, we invite you to tune in, reflect, challenge yourself, and take one step closer to the connection you were made for. It all begins with a simple step: to be reconciled.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Hello, everyone. This is episode 4 from Be Reconciled. I'm very happy to have great youth from our church, and they are coming with some of your questions that you have asked. And very happy to have you. Good to see you, Peter, and good to see you, Mina. And it's a great blessing for me to have you guys. And as usual, in the beginning, I want to share with you something about be reconciled with yourself. Because Saint Isaac the Syrian said, be reconciled with yourself, heaven and earth will be reconciled with you. So in the book of Song of Solomon, there is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Bible verse I really love. It says, I am dark, but I am lovely. I am dark, but I am lovely. What does this Bible verse mean, and why it is mentioned in the book of Song of Solomon? And what does it mean, dark and lovely? How does this really be together in the same time? So I dig deeper in what the sayings of the fathers said. Saint Ambrose said this: the dark is the darkness of sin. I am dark because I am alone. I am dark because I am stubborn. I am dark because I am strong-headed and I am not obedient. I am dark because I am defeated. I am dark because I am sinful. I am dark because I am weak and I don't have strength. So the Lord is inspiring us, saying, yes, regardless of your reality that you are dark, regardless of your reality that you are sinful or weak or defeated, when you come to me, you are my child, and I will give you something different. And Saint Ambrose said that the church is dark and weak and sinful because of us. We are weak and sinful, we are defeated. But when the church is born again by the beginning of the church in the day of the Pentecost, Saint Ambrose said that we will be spiritually mature in God, and we will be lovely. So I'm dark because I'm alone, but I am lovely because I will never be alone with the Lord. He is with me. Even if I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because you are with me. So my loneliness, alone, darkness, when I'm in the presence of God, he is with me and I'm not alone anymore. I'm dark because St. John Chrysostom said also is like a charcoal, that when you put the charcoal without fire, okay, but when you add the fire to the charcoal, now you can utilize the charcoal with a completely different aspects to heating and cooking and things that you can use it with. So I'm dark as a charcoal, but I'm ignited by being in the presence of God. Also, one of the fathers of the church said that I'm dark is the church of the Gentiles, because of how far they were from God, how evil they had previous lives, and how away they were from the Lord. But the Lord is saying, yes, you are dark, but you are lovely in my eyes, because when you come to me, I will cleanse you, I will give you hope, I will change your life. as a message of hope for me and for everyone. We are dark because of our sin. And when we come to the Lord, we will be lovely because of our forgiven sin, that we are getting the forgiveness through the repentance and the sacrament of repentance and confession. We are, when we feel weak, when we are dark, but we are lovely because in the presence of God, we are more than, as it says in the Psalm, joy is, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Lord will strengthen us even when we are weak. But if we are defeated and we are broken, or we are under the dominion of sin, we are more than a conqueror in the Lord, because He's the one who will give us the strength and the victory. So yes, we are dark. And this, yes, you are dark, but we are lovely in the eyes of God. And those, I think it's a beautiful connection between our reality and how God is seeing us, and our situation, and how when we are in the presence of God, when we know that we are His children, that we are being seen by Him as lovely and as beautiful as all the creation that He created. So this is one of the things I wanted to share with you guys in the podcast. And every time you feel down, remember that you are lovely. Mm. And every time you feel, you know what, I'm good, I'm okay, I have no problems, I overcame all the sins, remember that we are dark as well, because our weakness is there. So thank you guys for being here. I'm very happy, and I know that you have some of the questions that has been presented. By the way, this is not the questions of Mina and mm-hmm. and Peter. This is just the questions that you have submitted. I will encourage you to put more questions. This is anonymous in the biography in the Instagram account, Be Reconciled. You will find the link, and the link, you can, it is anonymous, and we don't know who sent the question. So we'll let us go with the questions.
Okay, so the first question of Buna is, how should finances be divided in different phases of the romantic relationship, dating, engagement, and marriage? Please provide your detailed answer.
Thank you. Really quick also for this one. I think it's good that they mentioned the different phases of romantic relationship, just because a lot of people, when they start dating, sometimes they start dating at a young age, and sometimes it's maybe not the right time, just because you're in school and you're not working. And so yeah. Sometimes the woman, the relationship is expecting the man to pay for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the issue is, the man sometimes doesn't have the funds to pay for himself and the woman, but it's they're in the relationship, and so to make her happy, he tries to work with it, but it's difficult sometimes.
It's a great question. So let us take it in the engagement or dating time. It is very important. Transparency is the key. I think dancing around the issue and not bringing it up. You know what? If I'm making a lot of money, I will tell, if I'm seeing Manel, my wife, a long time ago, that, you know, this is the amount of money I'm making. My goal is that I will pay for everything, but literally I cannot make it right now. How do you feel about it? And maybe I can afford going out this time, amount of times, and I will take care of it. But if we want to do something more, meet each other more, or go out for dinner or whatever more, will you be able to help me out? It's, I think here is when you build genuine, wholeheartedly, when being yourself, you are not being cheap. And you're not being deceptive, and you're not lying, and you're playing games, and you're not pretending something or someone that you are not. Yeah. Just being honest. This is the situation I'm in. How does this make you feel? Many people, they don't like speak about, and I think that's why they are sending the question. Yeah. Don't want to speak about finances. So one of the greatest tips is just being honest, and this is what I have, this is what I do, this is how can I afford, and my goal is to pay, but I can't. As a rule, when you bring it up in the situation, that is much easier. You will figure it out, both of you.
Yeah.
No, but you should pay all of the Starbucks. Okay, I will pay the Starbucks. Can you help me out with this? So this is in the time of dating. But I heard many, I mean, if someone has been working for 10 years and they are going really, really cheap in the time of dating, it's a question mark also. Yeah. I mean, how you are making her feel? What does this really mean to her? I mean, so you get my point. It raises a question mark. Are you that stingy in life? Did you start? So this is the dating, the engagement. I think the same, being genuine, being honest, and bringing things up. You know what? This is okay. Let us save for the marriage. Let us save for the. I want to save more. I will go above and beyond I can to make you happy in the wedding ring. So, but I'm saving. So it's being genuine. If you have abundantly, then give abundantly also. But if you are limited in your resources, be honest about it. And there is no shame in this. Just being genuine. And I think the girls and the boys will be, when they are in this phase, engaged. They appreciate the genuineness. And I even sometime we're in a budget tight with in my home. Mm-hmm. And I bring the kids and I tell them, guys, just relax. We cannot go extra stuff. Just if we are going out, try to select something reasonable. Yeah. We are a family of six. Mm-hmm. And this is, mm-hmm. The amazing thing is they get it. They don't feel, oh, why you are doing this? Because it's part of life. In the wedding, okay, in the marriage. So now we covered the dating part. If you are both college and you don't have that much of money, the genuineness and honesty and bringing it up. In the engagement, there shouldn't be joint accounts in engagement. For example, you are not yet married. You don't do big financial decisions in engagement because you don't know if this is going. I heard people, they bought a house together and they broke up afterwards. Wow. Now we have to sell the house. And you don't need to do this. Mm. But once you are married, then there are two scenarios in the marriage, how things will work with finances. The first scenario, this is me from my experience. I'm not saying the Coptic Orthodox Church is saying this, what you do in finances. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying what is really the ultimate goal, that the two will be one, will be united with God, and that the Holy Spirit is working through them. So the Holy Spirit will work in unity. The Holy Spirit will not work in division. The Holy Spirit will work when we are honest and genuine and transparent. It's not I have a bank account that she doesn't know anything about it, and she has a bank account that I don't know anything about it. And now what he's doing with his money, what she's doing with her, and all this transparency makes the life of everyone easy.
Yeah.
So the option one, forget about what you have in money, put everything in a joint account. Adam and Eve put everything together and live together and be faithful and be genuine and be honest and be wise in the money that God has given you.
Mm.
Other option is Adam is having separate bank account, personal, and Eve is having her personal bank account, and they have a joint account. Now we have three.
Mm.
The joint in the middle, and they agree on, okay, you know what, I will add X amount of money every month, and you will add X amount of money. But what about Adam's account? Eve has access to her. She is authorized user. She can log in. She can see anything. But this is his money from his grandpa left him a little bit of something. So he has like maybe have an emotional connection with this money for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Or like this $10,000 my geddu gave it to me before he departed. As if this $10,000 is just, but it just have a sentimental meaning. So giving her access to everything makes the life of everyone easier.
Mm-hmm.
And also she does the same. The problem starts when there is lack of transparency, we are hiding, we are pretending stuff, we are lying, we are covering. This is where the mess starts.
Mm-hmm.
So first option, everything joint, make your life easier. Yeah. Second option, joint account, but the separate accounts, both of each, the Adam and Eve, they both have their own. they know exactly what's happening, and there is nothing hidden for any one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also feel like when you are tight on a budget, that what really matters is the effort you put in. Would you agree, Abuna?
Definitely. Yeah. You just put the effort.
Yeah.
Put the effort in, and also put the effort not in making more money, put the effort in saving money too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes you subscribe and stuff and you keep paying subscription. I never used
this. Wasting money that could have been saved, exactly.
So it is both ways.
Okay, the next question that came in, it read, is it very important in a marriage to marry a husband who is already educated and has a career? If someone started their undergrad in their late 20s, but they're an amazing person who loves God and they would lead a family really well and loves Christ, is it worth it to wait and try, or is it best to look for someone else?
This question is, the lady or the girl is asking about someone who is not ready right now, but he's pursuing his career. Mm. There is a lot of factors playing a role here. Number one, are you on the path of God? Is he on the path? She is saying that he's lovely, he's in the church, he's highly involved. And this is okay, this is good news. So both of us are pursuing the path of God. Okay, are we compatible? Is the age difference is making sense? Are we compatible from family perspective, financial perspective, educational level? I had a disastrous experience with a guy top-notch in his top-notch. I mean, one of the best in his career. And he chose a wife that not well-educated at all. Mm. There's a huge gap that in the Christmas party that his work is throwing in the time of Christmas. He's embarrassed to take his wife with him. But she cannot speak, she's not representable, intellectually she's not there. So all of those plays, it is just, you need also to look in the details of those stuff. So back to, are we on the pathway of God? Are we pursuing God? Is he honest and faithful and doing everything he can? He got delayed in his undergrad for whatever reason. Mm. It's no problem.
Yeah.
But if he is lazy, he's pushing stuff around, blaming everyone around him. Oh, it is mom, it is dad, yeah. It is sibling, it is the car, it is the freeway, it is the new president. Then the sense of responsibility is missing. Here is when this is where the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who got laid off and stayed 6 months in home doing nothing. Wow. Netflix and doing nothing. Mm. And I know a guy who got laid off and this in a very, very reputable job. The same day, he went and used his car as Uber. You get my point?
Yeah, yeah.
So someone who is responsible, someone who is passionate, someone who is faithful towards God, and someone who is relaxed, doesn't care. So if you feel sense of responsibility, if you feel you get he's faithful, he honors God, he is doing his best, there's no problem. But if you are seeing pink flags, then there's another, then the answer is obvious as well.
So it's all about the effort again.
Yes. Perseverance. Yeah. Perseverance is a key even in the life of the saints, and is a big deal. It's a big deal in everything we do. But it is not just the only factor, because someone can be very persevering, but it's very aggressive.
Yeah.
It's very mean. It's putting you down. It's making fun of. I mean, so it is not just one thing.
Exactly.
But how do you find the balance between whether it is to persevere or when you just stop, when you just let it go and move on?
In what aspect? Persevere.
Like for instance, when you have someone that's lazy, and you love them. You want to persevere to make that relationship and make it work, but they're lazy. How do you know when to persevere, whether to just move on?
I will ask about the history of the person.
Mm.
Maybe they are going down they are down emotionally, down. They are struggling in their life for whatever reason. That's why you see them lazy, but they are not lazy.
Yeah.
But grades drop out of high school. Mm. debts coming late to church. It's all, do you know, in China now what they do? Something unheard of. When you are applying for loans, they will check, they will do a background check. In the background check, they will know when do you charge your phone.
Oh, wow.
So if you keep your phone till it is 2% and 3% and charge it, this decreases your chances of getting the loan.
Wow, really?
Because you are reactive, you are not proactive, you are leaving everything to the last minute. So how to know is just look to the history, look to the patterns. All of us needs a second chances, but if you see the zeal, the perseverance, the passion in their life to do something, and they are doing and they are taking action, then this is good news. Because no one of us is perfect. Yeah. But if you see laziness after laziness after laziness after irresponsibility after dropping the ball, and then this is a red flag.
Yeah. Okay. And then the next question is, what are the ideas of marrying somebody of different ethnicity or skin color within the Coptic Orthodox Church? Is this something we tolerate, or is it something that's viewed as, you know, negative?
We are all one in Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no differences, neither in gender, neither in race, in status, in... we are all one in Christ, and when we take communion, we're taking the same body of Christ in the liturgy, and we are one.
Yeah.
I think search for the heart of the person, not for his color.
Yeah, exactly.
Search for his relationship with God, or her relationship with God, not for how they look like or their ethnicity. Yeah,
the inside, not the outside.
Yes, yes. This is what makes the difference. Yeah. This is what defines who we are.
And then also the next question is, what are the thoughts about marrying somebody? So if you're a man, marrying an older woman within the church.
Is that a huge difference in age?
They're asking, what is the limit? So how much do we tolerate according to God's will?
It's tough one. It's not a cookie cutter. Yeah. I mean, okay. So if I have a couple that they are matching in every... Everything is clicking. One is clicking emotionally, click financially, intellectually, spiritually, career-wise, family-wise. Everything is just lined up perfect. And there is a difference in age. Then I will bring it up to my father of confession, and I will bring it up to people whom I trust. I will be putting it in prayers and ask God if this is your will, and I will really, really pray so hard. If it is the will of God that he will give me peace, give me comfort to move forward.
Yeah.
But not matching intellectually, emotionally, socially, financially, spiritually. Yeah. And now we are adding
another one.
10-year difference. It doesn't add up.
I know, that's true. Yeah.
Okay, the next question is, peace and grace, Abuna, how would your reverence explain the role of leading by the husband in marriage? What does leading entail? What are some real life examples to help explain this role to our youth?
So what are your responsibilities
as a leader? Number one, the responsibility as a leader is to wash the feet. This is how our greatest leader did. He sat the disciples down and he washed their feet and he said, as I have done to you, you do it also to others. So the first responsibility is, and this is the life of humility. I have, you didn't come to my home, but we have a center icon in our home. This icon, by design and by intention, it's a little bit bigger than the other. We have many icons, but many of the icons are small. But this icon is big, and it is in the center of the house. It is the disciples, the washing of the feet of the disciples, and the Lord is washing the feet. So, because this is the leadership of Christ to us. And when we humble ourselves, then you find God is pouring His blessings, His wisdom, His love, His peace, His joy in our hearts. So just wash the feet and just go and sleep and don't do anything else. No, I didn't say this.
Yeah.
So leading by example is a key. For example, praying. If I'm asking my wife and my kids to pray, am I praying? Are we praying together? Mm. Am I reading the Bible on my own and I am trying to encourage them to read the Bible? One of the things I have this in the time of COVID, I did this with my kids. It was locked down, no school, nothing. Everybody is staying home. So I said, you know what I'm doing? I will pray in the morning, first hour.
Mm.
Then around noon, we'll pray the 12th hour, the 6th hour. Then around the 5 or 6, we can pray that. So I created an online Zoom schedule.
Mm.
So as instead of me praying alone, so also this will encourage people to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So I was calling the kids, it's time of prayer, you need to come now. They start coming.
Mm.
And how long is it take? When are we going to finish?
Mm.
Dad, it's too much. I just prayed. I have homework. They said, you know what? There is something wrong going on. So I told them, it seems that I'm putting a lot of pressure on you.
Mm.
They said, yeah, you are putting a lot of pressure. So I told them, okay. What if prayer is your responsibility, but it is your decision too?
Mm.
Your responsibility, because if you love God, you will pray. Exactly. You will connect with them. Mm. So I cannot push you to love God, and I cannot push you to pray.
Mm.
But I will announce. This is what. So I had a measure after 2 weeks of whining, and I was giving them hard time, and they were giving me hard time. I said, you know what? Did really God push us to pray? He never did this. It is us who are longing for Him.
Exactly.
So I changed the rules in the home, and I told them, okay, I will announce that we are praying, for example, the 12th hour, the 6th hour by noon. If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. And their demeanor when they were coming, sometimes we succeeded 100% or the whole crew came, and sometimes we had 50%, which is fine. And I promised them, I'm not going to discipline you. I'm not going to give you punishment or any consequence. It is your choice, because you cannot force people to love God.
Exactly.
But at least I myself will be praying.
Mm.
So leading by example in the spiritual life, waking up Sunday morning early and leading the family to go is not, oh, go and I will come to you and I, I just took coffee, so I cannot come to church. It's just leading by, so number one is humility. Number two is by example in the spiritual life. Number three is by being there, because now we are distracted, and we can spend a trip to Egypt over the in a same aeroplane, and we are sitting, the three of us together, and no one can talk to anyone because you are on their phone, you are doing whatever, and I'm doing whatever. We are disconnected.
Sure.
So leading also by being there, being involved, being alert, being present, being intentional. I think at least if we start with this, and sometimes asking the tough questions for the wife and tell her, you know what? What would you think I would do better as a leader in the home? What do you are looking for? Can I do anything different?
Mm.
And if you have a thick skin and you can take the answers, yeah, it can be very helpful. Can be very fruitful.
Yeah, yes. Always have to be open-minded to comments about being able to change.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
It's very
yes.
important.
So that's yeah. it. Okay, so thank you guys. I'm very happy. I'm very lucky to have
you
today. And
thank you so much.
We're blessed.
And thank you for all the questions you sent, and really appreciate your engagement. And please subscribe to the Instagram channel and follow us. And hopefully you will send more questions. We are there for you. I'm praying for this ministry. I'm praying for all of you. And remember, even if you are dark, you are lovely in the eyes of God, to whom is the glory forever and ever. Amen.